Father, we thank you again tonight for the opportunity, the privilege to gather as your people before your presence. Thank you so much for all you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Father, for the expectations you put in us for more of you. Again, we surrender ourselves to you this day. We just ask you to have your way and continue to guide and teach us by your Spirit of truth. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you don't mind, just like our dear sister Yvonne just encouraged us tonight to mute our phones so that way we'll all be able to hear what, you know, the Lord is sharing with us by his Spirit. So if there's a need for us to unmute, we'll let you know. So please, if you can do that, that would be very, very, very helpful. Thank you. Amen. Okay. I want to thank you all so much for your prayers. After the prayer training, we came back and we had a privilege to be away on our anniversary. The 1 year went so quick, so fast. So we just went to wait on the Lord and just be refreshed. And we were so blessed. We felt people were praying for us and God really met us in a very special way. So we just want to thank you so much for your prayers. That's why we're not on the line last week. Amen. I've been praying about, you know, this time and this season we're in. I really felt that it's very, very, very easy for us to, especially some of us that we're at the prayer training, to lose the impact or to lose the focus of what God is already beginning to stir in our hearts. And also for the benefit of those that were not there, we want to be able to create an atmosphere for us all to still be able to be impacted and to grow together in the area of reigning and ruling, you know, in Christ. So I want to continue a little bit with what we started at the prayer training. The theme of the prayer training is, it's time to reign again. It's time to take our place, take our position. It's time to recover what we've lost. It's time to be restored. It's time for us to begin to exert and to establish our place of authority and dominion. And again, it's time for us to just transition from just a lot of knowledge, a lot of revelation, to the time to really, you know, time of really activating and time of really demonstrating this authority and power that we have. So when we say it's time to reign again, it's not another knowledge. It's for us to begin to establish that in our personal life, no matter how small, no matter how big, but for us to begin to live out some of these principles in reality. So we want to just keep reminding ourselves and sharing. And, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we can really, really consolidate what the Lord taught us during that prayer training. So today, so we'll be looking at these various areas and we keep staying in that direction for some time as we enter the new year. And my prayer for, you know, what I'm challenging myself and asking God to help me is that I don't want to wait till next year, but at least to begin now. And as we enter next year, to see greater expressions of manifesting and demonstrating this power and authority in Christ. So I pray that would be also your expectation. And that's what this teaching from now will begin to provoke and challenge us. in the various assignments that God has given to us, and also in a corporate way. Amen? Amen. So today, I want to just quickly revisit something I was mentioning at the prayer training, but and just encourage us in that area. I want to read a few scriptures that will give me that direction. I want to speak a little bit today on authority. I want to read from Matthew chapter 8. I'll start from verse chapter 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. So we see again how faith is tied to authority. I want to read a scripture here before we look at all this together. From the book of 2 Corinthians, somebody has their music on. 2 Corinthians 10, I'll read from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, that is, though we are in this fleshly body, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations means arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, and having in a readiness to avenge, that word avenge means punish or revenge or overthrow, all disobedience when my obedience is fulfilled. When our obedience is fulfilled. So those are the two scriptures. I want to read one more, so that way we just flow from there. This one is in Matthew 16, and it's where Jesus said here, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Some other gospels will say, carry his cross daily and follow me. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in the book of James, it says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Use the word submit unto God first. During the prayer training, as we're focusing and the Lord is reminding us of the finished work of the cross, a lot of the teaching during the training started they referred a lot to Genesis 1:26, where God, in commissioning Adam and Eve, gave them dominion over the earth, over everything that God has created in the earth, creeping things, over everything, and then told them, charged them to subdue, to be fruitful, to multiply, to have dominion, and to subdue, to subjugate, to rule. Basically, what it means to rule or to have authority, dominion. Before you can have authority, you authority is exercising power. Authority is accessing power. Authority is sometimes is equally used as power, is exacting power, is using, establishing power. So for you to use, to have authority, there must be an established power that you're submitted to. So when you operate under this power, then your authority is established. So there can be power, a lot of power, but if we don't have authority, we cannot access it or establish it, even though the power is there. So we looked a lot at how God gave Adam and Eve authority from the beginning, and of course, but we also looked at how this was lost because of disobedience. The power, the authority God gave to them in the garden was lost because of the disobedience, and because they were not willing to repent, and they were blaming one person to the other, and they were not willing to repent. They were driven out of the garden. And of course, they put the blame on Satan. Of course, we know we lost everything then. We looked at all these things, but we now went quickly forward to why Jesus came and the price he paid on the cross to restore this authority back to himself, to take everything. He says he took the keys of hell and death. You know, he made an open show of Satan, and put 2 Peter talked about it, Colossians 4 talked about it. So it was very clear, you know, he took captivity captive. So Jesus on that cross made a very powerful statement: it is finished. So we looked at all these things. It's finished. The price has been paid, and then the victory has been won. Death has been, after resurrection, it was clear that death has been defeated, the ultimate condemnation for sin. And then he took the keys of hell and death. And then when he rose, and again he told the disciples, go wait, for all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And he will now release this to his disciples. So, now the first recipients of this empowerment of the Spirit, and at the same time we're giving authority to walk in it, where those are the upper room. But the people that led that movement, we call them the apostles and all that happened. If you notice one thing, that these people, they were with Jesus for about 3 years. They were with him. And for them to be with him, they denied a lot of things. And the things they denied had to do with things that were very connected to them. For example, we know Peter and James, Peter and Andrew, they left their father's, you know, fishing business. They left their fishing business. James and John did the same thing. They left everything and followed. Most of the disciples, Matthew left his job. That's their calling in different other people. They were setting sacrifices. Actually, there was a statement one time when they were, going through some things. Jesus made this statement, says, nobody that left father, mother, land, this, that, will lose their reward. Not even in this earth. So we know that there was a price they paid for following this man. They left everything, submitted, they were with him that whole period. So he called them his disciple. So that word disciple, the best way to understand it is the word for discipline or training. Training for that period of time. There was a cost to it. Discipleship costs something. So Jesus now is saying here, if any man will come after me or will follow me or will walk in my shoes, let him, he will first deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So the cross is, to Jesus, he died on the cross, but for us is a self-denial lifestyle. Now, what does all this mean when it comes to being in alignment to authority? This story I just read in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, talks about a soldier, but this is more like a centurion, kind of a high-ranking commander. And he had a sick person, and he's heard about Jesus, and the people of Israel, they love him because he's done a lot for them. So now they have gone to tell Jesus about this man's need. And he heard that he was coming. His servant was sick. The man sent a message ahead of time. He says, you don't have to come here. You don't have to come. Just speak. Just decree. Just declare. Just pronounce the word. Speak it. Say the word only. I know my servant will be healed. And then he explained why he had that kind of faith, that kind of confidence in Jesus being a spiritual ruler. Because from a natural soldier's point of view, he understood rulership. He understood dominion. And he understood authority. So now he sees Jesus as a different ruler, but more spiritual. So because he's spiritual, he operates through a spoken word. And he knows the spiritual authority he submits under will demonstrate, will honor his command. So he used the physical to explain the spiritual. And Jesus said, you got it. You really got it. And this is the greatest I've heard anybody express in the area of faith in Israel. How did this man understand this? First of all, the man understood that as a centurion, he understood that Romans had power. The Romans were in power at that time. And the power the Romans has was being exerted all the way from Rome. And see, the Caesars were reigning. So the Romans were in government, and power comes with government. And under this arm of government comes the military. So he enlisted into military. The time he enlisted into military, he wasn't a centurion. He wasn't a commander. He wasn't anywhere. But he started at a level that he had to understand what it means to be under authority. So for him to use, to enter the place of authority, the place of exerting the influence of the Roman power over him on other people, he has to come through learning what authority is. So to be able to learn authority, you have to be under authority. How did that happen? He came through the discipline. First, he had to sign into the military, that he's coming into this work, he's coming into this assignment, it's not about him. And they would tell him right now, you are signing away your life. You are going to come under the authority of Rome. And you're going to come under the authority of the military arm of this. And this military, whatever they say is what you do. You have no choice in this. It's about what Rome commands, and what is under the constitution, what the law says, that's what you're going to carry out. even contrary to your own desires. So if you're going to do this, sign these lines. They signed it. He got in there. It was not just words, signing paper. They put him through a rigorous lifestyle that you all know, if you want to go to be a Marine or a Navy SEALs or even in the military, whatever part of the military, that's the process you take. So he knew that he went through this, started somewhere. He was under some kind of people that just tell him, do this, go here, wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning, run 20 miles, do this. I mean, this has never been his life before. He does not understand that at all. But because he has made a commitment and signed a dotted line, signed away himself. So they started training him on self-denial. And he goes through this training of self-denial. By the time they finish the training, this guy is no more himself. He's now completely under the rulership of the Roman, or the authority he's under. Whatever they say, your captain, your commander, he says, go, you go. Run, you run. Stop, you stop. Move, you move. Lie, you lie. Whatever they say, after they finish the training, you are no more your own. And the more they see that you are completely in submission to the authority above you, gradually step, that's how you gain your position. The more you're readily to obey command, respond, active, surrendered, the more your influence, your level of promotion increases. And you're active and you're exercising. So you grow. But they have levels. Before you get to the position of a centurion, you are completely under the authority of the highest level of obedience. Whatever Rome says, you must do it without waste of time. And you must command those under you to respond. That's why the military have a commander-in-chief. The military don't have a choice. If they say, go to Iraq, you go. Go to Saudi Arabia, go here, you go. Go fight this, you fight. Because you have been trained to deny everything about yourself. So to get to that place where you can exercise authority, you have lost yourself. And you've given yourself under somebody else's authority. And that's why this man has heard so much about the spiritual impact of Jesus. And he knew this man must be under a power. But for him to attain the power and exercise this kind of authority, he has been under authority. So he said, don't bother to come under my roof. Speak and your angels will respond. Speak and whatever authority, whatever power you surrender to, they will demonstrate your words, because you're a man under authority. So Jesus says, you got it. So now, I read another scripture in 2 Corinthians 10. Paul, being a man of war, Paul is a general. I mean, if you read the epistles to the Ephesians, to, you know, Corinthians, you see, especially in Ephesians, we all know that about, you know, Paul describing the armies of Satan and then teaching us how to overthrow, how to arm ourselves. So he's a general. But here Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he was telling them, because at this time Paul looks so like a weak, looks like so simple in the flesh. It looks like an ordinary person. He comes, he will serve the people, he will honor, he will just, you know, just was a servant like Jesus was. So at the point they were taking him for granted. So as he was writing this Corinthians church, the 2 Corinthians, he started explaining something to them. He said, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have an army, but we are not fighting human beings. This army that I serve under, this authority that I walk under, is not displayed from outward appearance. It's not about the flesh. It's not how you see me in the flesh. Because The army I'm talking about, they don't use physical weapons. And this army deals with strongholds, deals with things, you know. But this is a long subject. To break down this area is a long subject. But just to get to where we're going tonight, this night, basically Paul told them about imaginations, you know, about was going through arguments, high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, da-da-da-da-da. And then he came to the point, he says, you will be ready to be able to overthrow, to dismantle, to really rule in the spirit only after your obedience is being fulfilled. You cannot overthrow disobedience if you are disobedient also. The whole loss of power, authority from the garden was as a result of disobedience. And from that moment, everyone was counted as children of disobedience, and Satan was able to control them. We were all, Paul says in Ephesians 2, we were all like that when we were in the world. We were under the rule of Satan as children of disobedience. So Paul is saying, you know, you cannot rule over something that is already controlling you. First of all, for you to be trusted with authority, you must have gone through the discipline of obedience. And you cannot walk in obedience until you understand submission to God. And how can you submit to God if you don't understand submission to His word? So, why submission to His word? Because the moment Adam and Eve fell out of disobedience, something happened. And what happened was, the Bible says their eyes were open. And that's a long subject, but their eyes were open. But their eyes were open to see into the physical realm. And able to see, they were naked. So that means they lost their insight into spiritual things and their connection to God, the authority of God. They lost being under that authority of God. So, and then they started seeing physically. So now they became more self-conscious. When their eyes were open, means if Adam and Eve's eyes were open, means before their eyes were open, that means their eyes were open to something before. So if their eyes now were physically open, it wasn't physically blind before, but now they can now see physically that they were naked, it means that something has blinded their spiritual eyes. And the greatest thing that has blinded their eyes, that Satan is keeping from every man, because until that is broken, that is destroyed, we cannot understand, we can't see in the spirit, and we can't rule in the spirit. The manifestation of disobedience, that fruit was self-exaltation that comes through pride. And that's what Satan represents. I. So they were blinded by self. They're blinded by self. So this self now causes them to look to self inwardly. And by doing that, all they look is flesh, lust. So now, what Paul is saying is, because of the fall, every imagination of man is now surrounded by self, is about surrounded to the limitations of man. So now Satan, for example, now has the ability to corrupt the minds of man by giving us all these various ideologies. And these ideologies can be what we call Islam today. The ideology can be what we call Buddhism today. The ideology can be what we call whatever religion you call it. But every one of these religions is built on self-discipline. self. And the more they build this religion on self, this ideology on self, the blinder they get, the thicker the blindness. And the thicker the blindness, they don't know that Satan really is the God they are worshiping. Even religion is built on self. So the whole reason Jesus came was to remove that veil, to destroy that veil. But it takes a discipline. You know, anointing is a gift. But to really walk in God's authority, you have to go through a training, a denial, a training of a school of self-denial, not self-exaltation. So Paul was telling them in Corinthians, you see, you cannot war against these imaginations, these strongholds that is already in our minds, these things that exalt themselves above Christ, that are all tied to self. It's about me. You know, everything is about self. We're taking all this about. So he says, no, you have to go through a process of discipline to tear down these strongholds, to destroy these arguments, to remove, to allow through the discipline, through obedience, through some things we're going to be looking at eventually. These processes help to crucify self in us. And by the more we decrease, we die to self, the more we are able to yield in obedience to God. And Paul says there's a place where as our obedience is being fulfilled, it is then we have the authority to begin to dismantle every form of disobedience through the power of God. So Jesus says, if any man will walk in my footstool, he must have the revelation that the greatest enemy you're going to fight is not the man that has been defeated out there called Satan. The greatest enemy you have to fight is the overthrow of self that rules in our lives. Because self is blind, is pride, is lost. Every is self. Every argument, everything today is built on self. So Jesus came to destroy self. This is how Paul put it when Paul was really now walking in divine authority. He says, I am crucified. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh now is by faith of the Son of God. So basically Paul is saying, I have given up self. Why? Through a discipline, through a pure a self. What does it mean? What does school of dying to self look like? Is we are baptized in the Spirit, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we pray in tongues, you know, we have the gift, but what does it mean to die to self or the school of dying to self? One, it has to do with the opportunity to forgive people when they offend you. That's dying to self. It has to do with when people are trying to cheat you, they're trying to use you, and you know that thing is going to cause problem, and they want to do the ability to say, Paul says, sometimes it doesn't matter what you lose, but just to make peace with other people that are trying to. You know, some people think they are wise. Out of pride, they try to do so many wrong to you. But God says, you become a fool so that you become wise. Sometimes you have to deny yourself. Sometimes going to prayer meetings when you don't feel comfortable, but you've committed to it. Sometimes it's when you've committed to fasting and you do it even when you don't feel like it. Sometimes it's committing to giving. You give when you don't feel like it. Sometimes it's committing to helping people do things and you do it. So it's just obeying God in little things. And the challenges come that will make you almost give up, but you keep doing it. One of the greatest obedience you're walking in is your life of intercession. These years and the sacrifice and the all you do to give up your valuable time to pray for other people. That's a disciplined soldier. You keep, there's a 24 prayer line going with willing women. Sometimes you don't feel like coming on the line, but because you signed to be there, you keep it. And you can't, even when you're tired, you still make it. You think God is not watching. That's part of self-denial. That's part of self-crucial. That's part of discipline. There's a process of dying to self. It's a lifestyle of dying to self. The disciples walked through this with Jesus. So, how does it work? In, for example, in America, America has a power. It's a powerful nation. And the Constitution has established a power over the nation. They have the presidential power, the executive, they have the judiciary, they have the military, they have all these areas of the arms of American power. You know? But it comes all the way from the top and their offices. But there's this aspect of the power that we all see in our cities, like the policemen. This is a civilian person, has no authority whatsoever, has no power whatsoever. But he goes and signs into the police office. They take him to a training. They take him to a serious discipline. What does this discipline, what is this supposed to fulfill? The purpose of military discipline or police discipline or whatever discipline or even the training we get at job, serious job places, is simply to create obedience. For you to do exactly the expectations of the company, to obey the people over you, to obey and to make sure you serve the very purpose for which you are at that job or the very purpose for which you're under that police force without putting your emotions or putting your own opinion to it. You obey the policy without question. And you serve that. So they take them through that training, and after they pass that training, they have completely signed away their emotions, signed away everything to be under that order. And as soon as they pass, they say, now you're putting, they put a badge on them. They put a uniform on them. When they put on that uniform, they are right now under authority. And because they are under authority, you feel the influence when they drive around you. You feel the influence of the authority. Even without them saying a word, you see the police car drive on the highway, your speed limit is automatically goes down. You know why? You feel the influence of the authority. So, the centurion was teaching us something. That there's power out there, but civilians can't operate under it. There is police power, there is military, but nobody, you can't, there's a discipline you have to go to be able to exercise the authority that of that power that exists. So also in the things of God, the kingdom of God is a kingdom. It has power. It's the power above all power. God is a creator. But Jesus came after the fall of Adam to teach us to restore back how this works. First, he waited, he spent time and was under training. While he was under training, he was still going to the synagogues. He was still doing things even at the age of 12. He was still serving. He was still submitting, doing things, doing, serving and serving. But when it was time for him to now step into his time of assignment, you all remember, he was sealed by the Spirit of God. And from the moment he started publicly establishing his authority, there's one statement he made about himself. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I see my father tells me to speak. He said, my Father walk, I walk. Basically, if you study what he's saying, and that follows all his ministry, because he told Philip in John 14, if you see me, you've seen my Father. Basically, out of discipline, spiritual discipline, Jesus said, I have not come into this world to focus on myself. Everything I am sent, I'm here to do, is to glorify the Father. I'm only here to do what he wants done. To the point on the cross, before the cross, he prayed and his prayer was not answered. Because he said, not my will, God, but your will. I am here to submit to your authority, and if it means going to that cross, I will finish it. He submitted to something that he proved to us in the flesh was difficult to do. But he submitted to it because the Father's, that's what the Father demanded. And as a good soldier, he went to that cross, finished the course, and won the battle. So, my brothers and sisters, God has given us such power. And actually, Paul put it this way, he said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We carry this power, we have this power. And what God is telling me recently, he says, we've been under training, we've been training, but now we need to start putting our training into action. He's telling me that. And I'm praying that you will hear him tell you the same thing. And I'm gradually begin to say, there are certain things not just, now since we left that prayer training, there are certain things now that, spiritually speaking, I do not tolerate anymore. I am beginning to gradually say, okay, God, if you said this, I will obey what you say because I'm under your authority. And until we learn obedience, we will not see manifestation of the what God is telling us to do. So here, Jesus is the Word. Amen. The Bible says there are three that bear witness: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You know, 1 John 3, 1 John 4. Now, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. So we know that Jesus is the Word. Amen. His name shall be called the Word of God. So, when Jesus came to this world, he submitted to the Father. He could not, he said, I will do nothing. The Son can do nothing except what the Father. So, he went through a discipline like a true soldier. Denied himself, submitted. So, then he left in the flesh and sent the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit is doing? John chapter 16. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So when the Holy Ghost came, the Holy Ghost is only here to execute the word of God. The Holy Ghost will demonstrate the word of God, is here to exalt Jesus, who is the word. So how then we that are here, that have been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, how then, what do we do for the Holy Ghost to lead us and not we leading him? That's the discipline of practicing submission to the Word of God. And by submitting to the Word of God, we are submitting to Jesus. And by submitting to Jesus, we are submitting to the Father. So this is how it works. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So for the Holy Ghost to now confirm our words with signs and wonders, it has to be proven that we are in submission to the Holy Ghost. How can we be in submission to the Holy Ghost if we are not in submission to the Word of God? How can we be in submission to the Word of God if we are not obeying the little Word of God that God has been revealing to us? So the key boils down to obedience. Obedience to who? To the word of God. Who is the word of God? Is the authority of Jesus under the Father. So that's what from God is calling us to reign again. And how do we reign? We must now begin when God gives us a word through scriptures, when God gives us a direction, we must obey. We must speak that word, we must obey. The time for us to have so much knowledge and not do anything with that knowledge. It actually says Faith without works is dead, meaning faith without obedience does not produce anything. So God is dealing with me that He's trained us for a long time. It's time for us now to begin to usurp some spiritual authority, and we cannot be tolerating everything. And amazingly, I am trying here, I'm testing a little here and here, and I'm beginning to find out it's truly a season that God honors obedience, and I'm seeing some fruit. So I pray that God will begin to lead us, especially from now, as we move forward into 2018. There be the time when the sons of God will begin to wait upon the Lord, and as we hear and we hear what God is saying, we'll obey. And as we obey, I believe the Spirit will begin to demonstrate our obedience openly. So that's what I want to share with us tonight and encourage us that we're entering into the season of obedience. We're restoring our place of authority so we can overthrow every form of disobedience by the grace of God. Thank you so much for joining tonight. I will continue next week. Father, thank you so much. Help us, every one of us, God, to now begin to exercise a life of obedience so we can begin to see fruit and demonstration of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.